wonderful privilege to be here tonight, and we're so thankful for the wonderful privilege and opportunity. We're so thankful for the good, humble prayer that Elder Isaacs has prayed, and just ask that we each continue to pray. It's been a great blessing to be on these services and to see brethren and sisters that we love so much, and to see them from around the country. And it's a great blessing to be here tonight. And we just ask that you continue to pray. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the 63rd chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 63. This is a psalm of King David, and it's believed that the occasion of this psalm was one of two things, that either it was while King David was running from the wrath of King Saul, who desired to take his life, and it led David out from the place he held most dear, where he was out in the wilderness. It led him out away from the house of God. Some have thought that it was on the occasion when David's own son, Absalom, rebelled against him and rebelled against his father's throne, and that this was when David was driven in the wilderness. But whatever the occasion, David's on the run. And David is away from the city that he so loves, and he's away from the house of God. He begins with these words saying, "O God, thou art my God." You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that God is God. But it's even more precious to know that God is my God, that God is your God. He said, "Early will I seek thee." You know, the writer of King Solomon, who penned the book of Ecclesiastes, says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth." You know, we ought not, David said, "Early will I seek thee." And I'll tell you, we ought to be a people that seeks the Lord early in our life. We ought not wait until we're about middle-aged or older to get serious about serving the Lord. But we ought to say, like David said, "Lord, early will I seek thee." Now, if you find yourself middle-aged tonight and you've not been serious about serving the Lord before, today's the day to begin serving the Lord. But if you're a young person tonight, don't wait until you're middle-aged or older to get serious about serving the Lord. David said, "Early will I seek thee." And you know, David had done that. David, when he went up against the mighty giant Goliath, David was a young man. And David, in great faith in God, when nobody else, when the Israelites were dismayed and greatly afraid of Goliath, David said, "Thy servant David will go and fight the giant." And he did. David, as a young man, had already been blessed by God with a victory over the lion and over the bear, that went out and got one of his father's sheep. And David went out and slew that lion and slew that bear. He said, "God bless me to kill the lion, and God bless me to kill the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of these," seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. David sought the Lord early in his life. May it be the same with us. He said, "My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." We heard the prayer of Elder Isaacs as he said, "Lord, heal our land." Why did he pray that prayer? Because we are in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. I remember Brother James giving an illustration of one of our ministers that had fought in a world war. And as he fought there, the enemy had poisoned the water source that the American soldiers might drink of. And so the soldiers wouldn't be tempted to drink of this poisonous water. There had to be a soldier stationed to guard, even at night, to keep the soldiers from drinking the poison water that the enemies of America had poisoned. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some poisonous water in this dry and thirsty land here in this life. He said, my flesh longeth for thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. Our flesh, as we think about our inward man, and then we think about our fleshly nature, that flesh doesn't long for the Lord. It longs for the things of the world. But this flesh is talking about here is part of the spiritual man where David's saying, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. And as born again children of God tonight, our soul and our flesh in that way that is mentioned here longs to be with the Lord. We long for his presence. We long to be with him in this dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm going to tell you, when you're thirsty and the land is dry, you want water very badly. I don't know if y'all remember the Coca-Cola commercial where there's a whole lot of folks on the beach, and you can tell it's a very, very dry and a very hot day. And you can see a man up at the concession stand, and he's not getting that much business. So he gets on a microphone, and he opens up a Coca-Cola, and you can hear that sound go, shh. And then he begins to drink the Coca-Cola, and you can hear him glug, 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 glug. And the next picture it shows is the whole beach in unison getting up together because they are so thirsty, and they heard that man drinking that Coca-Cola, and their thirst drives them to the Coca-Cola stand. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have something in us, little children of God, that drives us to be close to our Savior and our Lord. We're in a dry and a thirsty land. We don't have to be reminded of that in this environment of riots, in this environment of violence and all the things that are happening where law enforcement officers are gunned down and the wicked of this world cheer when they die. We're in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David found himself in a wilderness, but he said, I'll seek thee, Lord. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Is that not the thoughts and the cries of our heart tonight? He said, I long to see thy power and thy glory. We need, we thirst for the Lord. We thirst to see his power. We thirst to see his glory. Do you remember when Moses was trying to take the children of Israel through the wilderness? And they had been disobedient to the Lord. They had been murmuring and complaining. They had worshipped false gods. They had made those golden calves and said, this be our God, which brought us out of the land of Egypt. You remember what the Lord told Moses? He said, Moses, I'm going to send my angel in front of you. He's going to drive out all the enemies of Israel from before your path. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But the Lord also said, Moses, but I'm not going to go with you. Because thou art in the midst of a stiff-necked and rebellious people. I'll send my angel before you. He'll defeat your enemies, but I'll not go with you. What was Moses' response? Lord, if thou go not with us, we don't want to go up hence. Lord, if you're not with us, we can't go home. And the Lord gives Moses that sweet message in Exodus 33. My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What was Moses' request at that time? Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What Moses really needed to keep on keeping on in the dry and the thirsty wilderness he was traveling through, what he really needed to keep on keeping on, he said, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord did. The Lord graciously said, there's a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and my glory will pass by. And he said, you'll be blessed to see the hinder parts of my glory. And he said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover thee there with my hand. We need to see that glory today to keep on keeping on in this wilderness. We need the rivers of pleasure of our Lord to keep on keeping on in this dry and thirsty land. He said, to see thy power and thy glory. So have I seen thee in the sanctuary. David said, Lord, I don't want to just see your power and your glory. He said, I want to see thee. I want to see thee personally. I want to be close to thee. I, through an eye faith, want to see thee. Is that not what we come to the house of God for? That through an eye faith, we may be blessed to see glimpses of the glory and the presence of our Lord. Don't you know it was good when the children of Israel were in the wilderness to be able to look to the center of the camp and to see that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night, and to be able to say, there's the presence of the Lord. He's right there in our midst. We're going to be okay. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life. He said, Lord, if I know I love you, if I know that you love me, I can live or I can die. Your loving kindness is better than life. As the Apostle Paul would write, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having desire to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, your loving kindness is better than life. People at this time were seeking David's life, but David's like, that's okay, because your loving kindness, O Lord, is better than life. And even if my life here upon this earth is snuffed out, it's okay, Lord, as long as you keep loving me. And David knew that he would. David knew that the Lord's love was an everlasting love that would never leave him, would never forsake him. He said, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. He said, Lord, because you're of your everlasting love that's never going to quit loving me, because of your everlasting hands that will continue to be with me, he said, I'm going to praise thee all the days of my life. I'm going to serve thee all the days of my life. He said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My soul shall be satisfied. You know, you can look to the land of Hollywood and see people that have every single thing that this world would say you need to be fulfilled, that you need to be satisfied. They've got fame. They can make the most ludicrous statements, but because they're from Hollywood, cameras will record what they say. They've got fame. They've got all the material wealth anyone could ever imagine. They've got the respect of men that love Hollywood. But so many of them are not satisfied. They're not fulfilled, and they try to go through drugs or alcohol or many such things to try to get a place of satisfaction in their life. But I'll tell you, for a born-again child of God, nothing will ever satisfy us but the Lord himself. He said, my soul shall be satisfied with as with marrow and fatness. The Lord will satisfy us in this dry and thirsty land. His power, his presence, his glory. We will only be satisfied with the marrow and the fatness of his house. And I'm going to tell you, when the Lord fills you up, he fills you up. I love there in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when he not only filled the house with the Holy Spirit of God, but he filled each one with the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, that's what we pray for in the service of God, that the Lord would fill us and that he'd fill the house with his Holy Spirit so we might fill him in a real and a precious and a wonderful way. He said, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. David found solace by meditating on the Lord. During these unusual times in our country and nation, it's been very easy to get distracted from thinking about and meditating upon what matters most. And that's upon the Lord. You think David had a lot on his mind? People were hunting him to seek to murder him and to end his life. But his mind was on the Lord. And he took solace and he took comfort in the Lord. And I'll tell you, with all the distraction and all the fears and all the violence that's happening in our nation today, may our mind rest on him. Whether it be in the daytime or at night, he said, because when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, he said, I'm meditating upon the Lord. I'm thinking about the Lord and I take comfort in that. He said, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. He said, Lord, you've been my help. Lord, you were my help when I went after that lion and protected my father's sheep and got it back. Lord, you were my help when I went after the bear and brought it back, that sheep back to the flock. Lord, you've been my help all my life. Lord, you were my help when I went after the great and the mighty giant, Goliath. Lord, you're my help. And he's our help today. He's a present help. In time of trouble, he's our refuge, he's our strength, and he's right there with us. He said, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And he paints the picture here of the safety of a little eagle under its mother's wings. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever seen those eagles fight, they will fight to the death for their little eagles. And I'm going to tell you, under the shadow of those wings of the eagles, a safe place for those baby eagles to be. But I'll tell you, we have a safer place than that. Under the shadow of the wings of Almighty God is the safest hiding place, the safest protection, the safest refuge we could ever, ever have. You see, based on what's coming against you, is the kind of refuge you need to seek. You see, if you're running from a flood, you don't necessarily want to be in an underground storm shelter. But if you're running from a tornado, it's a good place to be. If you're running from a criminal, you've got to be in a place that can keep the criminal out. So our hiding place is always based in this life upon what's coming against us, whether it's a tornado, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a flood, whether it's a fire, whether it's a criminal seeking to do us violence. But I'm going to tell you, the hiding place under the shadow of the wings of our Lord is always a good place. Whatever enemy comes against us, no matter what it is, under his wings is always, always a good place. He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. That has the connotation of sticking to the Lord. Have you ever gotten your clothes out of the dryer and you maybe pull some pants out of there that you dried and there's a sock sticking to it? With static clean. That's the connotation of this word. When he said, I follow hard after the Lord, he said, I'm sticking right to him. I'm following extremely closely. You know what one of Mark Wall's problems has been in his life? Is that I'll follow after the Lord, but I'll follow too far behind. You know, I used to work as a security officer. the Lord, this has not happened to me in federal law enforcement, but when I used to work as a security officer, a lot of times I found that my partners that were supposed to back me up, they'd follow me into a fight or into a fray, or they'd follow me to chase down somebody that had stolen from the clothing stores there at the mall, but they'd follow too far behind. And when I needed their help, they were way too far back to help me. Sometimes when we follow after the Lord, we're following like that. The Lord's way too far ahead, and we're falling back. You know, the Bible in the book of James says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You know, if I want to feel more of the fellowship, and I want to feel more of the presence and the comfort and the peace of my Lord, I need to draw nigh to him. I need to follow close after him. Follow hard after him. I love in Matthew chapter 9 for that woman that had been burdened with an issue of blood there for 12 years. Where she said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Little child of God, I believe we need to touch the hem of that garment every day that we live. We need to follow hard and fast after him. We need to be close to him. We need to be meditating upon him. We need to follow hard after him. We need to be in his word every single day. We have the good news of the gospel laid out in front of me. We have the good news of the gospel being preached from primitive Baptist pulpits all over America. And what a blessing it is. It's the good news of the kingdom. It's a cold water to a thirsty soul. So it's good news from a far country. May we not spend so much time listening to the bad news of this world that we don't listen to the good news of the kingdom of Almighty God every day that we live. May we stay close to the Lord. May we follow hard after him. He said, thy right hand upholdeth me. David realized how many slippery places there are in this life. When I was a little boy, we liked to go down to the skating rink, and it took me a while to get used to those skates because they were very slippery to me. When I first got out there on the skating rink, I had to have somebody bigger than me and stronger than me to help me up and to hold my right hand that I might not keep falling down that hard, slick wood floor. I'm going to tell you, this whole world's kind of like a slippery skating rink. There's a lot of slippery places here. But the Lord is right there. And his right hand picks us up, holds us up. There's no enemy bigger than our Lord. There's no enemy that's stronger than he is. No trial or tribulation that's bigger than he is. And he stands right there ready, as he did with Peter. When he told Peter, come to me on the water. And Peter began to walk on water. But then he looked around at the waves and the storm that was boisterous around him. And Peter was afraid. And he took his eyes off the Lord. He quit following hard after the Lord. And he began to sink. But praise God, Jesus was right there. And with his hand, he lifted up Peter and saved him out of that certain death from the waters right there. David said, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they that shall be a portion for foxes. Again, our enemies are no match for my God, as David would say at the beginning. He said, O God, thou art my God. And David's enemies were no match for his God. And I'll tell you, our enemies in 2020, right here in the United States of America, they're no match for our God. And our God is able to heal our land. Our God is able to put his balm and fix all the problems that are going on around us. He said, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I'll tell you, little child of God, I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus comes again and all wrongs will be righted. I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus shall come in the clouds and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and Jesus shall forever and completely fix the brokenness of this world. What a day that will be. The Bible said every knee at that time shall bow. No longer will the wicked of this world deride against the Holy One of Israel. No longer will the wickedness and the evil of this world cast dispersions against our Savior and our Lord, our Master and our Creator. But in that day, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He said, the king shall rejoice in God. Not only David the king, but little child of God. Revelation chapter 5 said he's made us as the born again children of God, as elect of God, as redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He's made us kings and priests. We're to rejoice in God, rejoice in the Lord. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.